Welcome to the Social Podcast, where no discussion or debate is off limits.
Happy darn Friday! We are in the midst of royalty, I feel like, today. And we are thrilled to have with us on the show for the very first time, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star and author of Bad Mormon, Heather Gay is here!
Thank you. I'm loving Canada. It's been good to me so far.
All right. We hope it only gets better from here, Heather. And we're going to dive in because what we do in Canada is we gossip. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. So listen, Shakira and ex Gerard Piqué, her ex, he just went Instagram official, y'all, with his 23-year-old girlfriend. There it is. Everybody meet Clara Chia Marti. That's her name. Shakira and Piqué, if you'll recall, they announced their split back in June. Since then, though, there have been a ton of cheating rumors. Since then, also a smash hit from Shakira called Out of Your League. And a lot of other pettiness playing out in public that we've been discussing here on the show. He posted this. It's official. By the way, no caption. Who does that? Heather, let's dive in here. What do you make of this mess playing out in public the way it is?
Well, I am against Gerard doing a hard launch on Instagram. I think cheating on Shakira was enough of a soft launch, and she turned it into art, and she made it something beautiful, which is a song. But a hard launch on Instagram with your girlfriend, I just think it's in poor taste.
Yeah, I do too. And I have to ask you about this, Heather, because I said, who posts a post like that with no caption? You know who, in my opinion? A sociopath. Okay? I find that very aggressive. And the comments, if you guys want entertainment.
Mm-hmm. What are the comments like?
First of all, there's over 680,000 comments on that post. People saying things like, Shakira Rena, which means Queen Shakira.
No. Yes.
On his post, by the way. Another one is, claramente el Casio y la Twingo. Clearly a Casio and a Twingo, which is, you know, the Renault. And this is my favorite. Hashtag Team Rolex. Bye.
Petty. I keep thinking, well, there were also 3.5 million likes. I don't know what that means. Who's doing the liking?
A lot of men. A lot of men are liking that because he's got a young, young girlfriend, you know?
But again, that impulse to do it on Instagram, like if I were him, I would be thinking I really want to lay low. And I'd also be looking at my net worth. According to some calculations, it's $80 million for him. And I would be thinking, I could hide for the rest of my life from the backlash of this song and Shakira with my 23-year-old and my collection of Casio watches and go somewhere very quiet and not have to post. But he clearly is not me, and I'm not him. And I feel like he's striking while the iron is hot. Like he wants this right now, perhaps.
Well, I guess. I mean, he was with Shakira at the peak of his career. He's retired now. He doesn't play anymore. So it's desperado.
He's a soccer player, in case you didn't know.
Yep. It's desperado time for him. Like she continues to make him relevant. Shakira does. So he's going to milk
that's
it
true.
For the next 3 months until she gets over it, find someone hunky and hot. And then nobody's going to talk about Gerard Piqué anymore. So in a way, he kind of has to be like this so that he can milk the last vestiges of anyone being interested in him before, bye!
So like he's addicted to the limelight and he won't have
Who
it now that
care?
He's retired.
He won't have a career.
And so he's disregarding like
Who will care?
Kid, though, you know?
Yeah. Kids, this is where I go. Yeah. And here's the thing.
Are you going to sing a lyric from her song?
Something happened with my microphone, guys. So I had this awkward
Hips
thing where
lie.
It looks
just,
like
let's
I'm
going to
start singing. I'm not doing it. But try to ignore this, and I'm going to take an unpopular position, and I'm fully aware that you might boo me for this. I don't know this guy. Listen, I don't know him, but if we trust Shakira's judgment, at one point in time, she thought he was a very lovely, upstanding. She decided to procreate with this guy. She said in an interview once, and I quote, "Gerard is with me because he wants to be with Shakira the person, not the celebrity. There's real love. There's no ulterior motives. And I'm with him because he's the most amazing man I've ever met. Mm-hmm. We want the same things. We like the same things. We hate the same things. I have never been with someone so passionate in my life." Okay, so this was a few years ago, but I'm just saying, if we think that she has good judgment, then is it possible that there's actually a nice guy under there? Is it possible? Imagine if this was like Tom Hanks level of nice.
He would never post on Instagram.
Is it? Yes. Okay, you're taking away the Instagram thing. Fine. I agree the Instagram thing is tacky. But the cheating thing is what has stirred this whole huge pot. And the fact is, we don't know what went on in this marriage. We don't know if he was saying to her, "Babe, you've been away. You're traveling all the time. We need the kids. Let's get into therapy." And she was like, no. I don't know what she was doing. I don't know. We don't know this. We don't know that like he was working on some stuff personally. We don't know that he maybe even just fell out of love. It happens in adult relationships.
Then you break up and then you don't start cheating.
Everyone is so perfect. I'm just saying. There's a lot of people who need to look at themselves.
It's okay. The don't call the kettle judgments. Black, whatever that is.
That's right.
Hey, we have to talk about Harry Styles. God love him. If you haven't heard, he split his pants during his concert last night. And the best part is that Jennifer Aniston, his childhood crush, was in the audience. Oh my gosh. So, hey, Heather, have you ever embarrassed yourself in front of a crush or a celebrity?
I've only embarrassed myself in front of my crush and celebrities. But yeah, I embarrass myself every day. Like, I was not prepared for fame, and I'm still my normal, like, you know, foolish self. I was at BravoCon in front of like a lot of celebrities. Chrissy Teigen was there, like all of the housewives, all of the Bravo celebrities, and they were cheering for me, and I was feeling myself a little bit, and I twirled around, and one of my hair extensions fell out and got wrapped around my heel, and I had to like try to get it, but then somebody stole it, and we had to buy it like off of eBay to get it back.
Oh my gosh, someone took it as like a memorial.
They took it as a memorial.
Oh my gosh.
So you just can never feel too confident, you know? There's moments where life will get you. They'll humble you, you know?
Wow. I once, when I was 13 years old, everyone remembers what it was like to be 13 years old. I had developed one of my very first big crushes on a boy, and it was swimming, and we were doing diving lessons, and I remember specifically I was wearing this really cute, striped, kind of sailor style one piece, and I dove into the water, and I could see that he was looking at me as I was climbing up the ladder, and he's smiling at me, and one of my like left boob is just hanging out there. And he started laughing, and I didn't realize it at first. And then I looked down, and definitely stayed. I did date him later on, though.
Well,
I will say that.
I mean, he saw the goods.
He saw the goods.
Oh my, that's a hard launch too.
Only
like someone like Harry Styles, because he's so cute, can split his pants and like get even hotter. You know, like be like, "Oh my God, I love you more." And that's a reminder to always wear good underwear, right? Like, moms always tell us, wear your good underwear. You never know when your
that's
pants are going to split, right?
That is true.
You don't know
true.
What's going to happen later on the show with these pants. They're so darn tight. But anyway, I will say, this happened to me not too long ago, not in front of a celebrity, but I still remember this, and it makes me cringe. I was out on a date just before I had met my husband. I was out on a date, and I really, really liked this guy. And he invited a whole bunch of us to go to a hockey game, and I really liked him. And his friends were like, you know, kind of like rough around the edges. So I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to be like one of the guys." And I just drank way too much. And I was there, and I got up, and it was a hockey game, and I'm yelling at the bench of the opposing team. I don't know who I became, but I know what happened. He never called me again. And I realized, because you're a doink, Melissa. That's why. Who behaves like that? So lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
That's why I also don't drink anymore.
What would you do in this situation? A woman wrote to Slate saying her husband is completely misguided about his talent, and he keeps applying for jobs that he's not good at.
Oh, no.
She wants to know if she should tell him to give up. Would you ever tell anybody close to you that they suck at something that they really want to be good at?
No, I would lie to them and tell them they're wonderful over and over, especially if I loved them.
Did you see this?
I would, because I just I think that if you can believe in someone at their worst, then they can finally discover who they are at their best. You know, I just don't think I could ever tell someone that they were bad at their passion. You know?
Oh my gosh.
But I'm a softie.
You're so much nicer than I am. Oh my God. My answer was if it comes to career and stuff like that, I don't think I ever would. But my answer is not because you have to believe in people. It's because I think the gauge I have for what people get hired for and the new jobs that are out, I'm so divorced from it all. Like, I know someone, you know, this was years and years ago, who said that they quit everything to be a life coach. And their life wasn't that together. And I thought, yeah, I was like, good luck, you know, good luck with that. And I was like, there's no way. How does anyone become a life coach? And then now she's very, very successful. So like, I just think you can't underestimate what people will pay for.
That's where I was going to go with this. In this case with this woman, it's her husband. It sounds like it's a two-income house. It sounds like this house needs the two incomes. So I don't think I'd be so bold as to be like, honey, you suck. Because apparently she works in the same industry, right? So she knows a thing or two about what he's doing. You go at it in a very passive-aggressive way. And you say this, honey, here are the bills every single month in this house. Whatever it is that you do, the bills need to be paid, and here's your share of the bills. Let's say they split everything down the middle. If he's really that bad at his job, it's not her who's going to determine that. It's him getting a job or not getting a job or getting a job and keeping that job. Guess what? That actually has nothing to do with her. So if she turns around and says, honey, you actually really suck at your job, but the paycheck keeps coming in, girl, keep your mouth closed. The paychecks need to come. So that, you know, there's parenting by natural consequence where you just kind of let things happen and consequences are natural. When he's not getting paid because he gets fired because he sucks, then she can say something, I think.
Interesting.
But what kind of person are you? Like, just if it was your friend who said to you, Melissa, and I don't know, she can't
sing. Hi, my name is Lainey and I sing.
you've told me straight up. Sometimes you've told me it's good, even when we both know it's bad.
Sing. I just have to say something. We're not that bad.
Yes, you are.
But
yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Heather, you started a choir.
Yeah.
Did you tell anyone? Because not everyone can sing.
Well, the truth is, if you want to sing, and you should have a place to sing. You know, I don't think, but if you're trying to provide for my family with your singing, I might have to supplement. But if I love you, I'm going to triple down on your strengths. I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to let money be the secondary issue.
Do you need backup singers?
Sorry. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
I mean, as long as you lip sync, you're in.
Yeah. We're really good at that.
Okay, Heather, I am dying to know your take on this next one, okay? A TikTok user says that she went on dates to avoid paying for groceries. Yeah. She says she probably saved about $150 a week doing this. So, would you date for a free meal?
I would not date for a free meal. I would not date for a free toothpick. It is too much work. And you'd spend more just getting ready for the date than you're going to make up for in the meal, the free meal that you get. Clothes, makeup, hair, stress, sweat equity. I think that it feels so much better to earn the money yourself, spend it yourself. It slaps different. It tastes better. It feels different. And no date is worth a free meal.
Love it.
That's how I feel.
Love it.
What are some things though that you're out on the dating scene right now? Are there certain things that you're like, okay, this is it? Are you doing online dating?
I mean, I would date, like, I would go out with someone that I knew there was no potential with for a concert, for a great movie, for anything that was just like
an experience
that he had access to that I would not otherwise. But I would probably be clear about my intentions. But the truth is, even the best experience when you're with someone you don't like, isn't that fun? It divides the joy, you know?
It's true.
And at this point, you want to stay home.
As you're an older person, like you mature. Yeah. I don't think you know this when you're younger. I don't know the age of this person, but I know that I did this when I was in university. Because there were some months where I was at the casino, and after going to the casino, I had no money. I had no money to pay my rent. My parents were overseas. I obviously couldn't call them and be like, can you send more money because I gambled it away? So I flirted for a meal card. You know, on campus, lots of people had meal cards.
Yeah.
You just pay with your meal card.
Yeah.
And so I back then, like, what did I know about who was interesting and who wasn't? It was just like, oh, I can get someone's meal card. Well, like, yeah, we're going to be nice to this person.
It's resourceful.
Yeah. We're going to be nice. We're going to be cute. We're going to flirt. And then I got a plate of mashed potatoes on the meal card.
Yes.
And I survived. I feel like, and I don't feel bad about myself. Do not shame me for this. I did what I needed to do to survive, and I did.
But that's the thing. The girl in this story, yeah. I think she's younger. She works on Wall Street. She seems to be able to afford life.
Okay, well, that's
why I was like, she lost me. Because if she said, I fell on hard times, I'm going without meals. I mean, listen, people have to do. These are tough times. Do you know how much bananas are now? They're really expensive.
It's true.
Sure. Food is expensive. So for
it's
that, I would understand.
Men too, though.
You're right. Cynthia, wage pay gap. That's all I got to say. Wage pay gap. They're still making more than us. So if for that reason, I get it. But she looks like she's affording her house, her clothes. So if she's doing this to just sort of like be a sponge, then I'm not down for this.
Yeah. It would be so much work to meet new people every day of the week.
I mean, the showers, the hair, the makeup. I wouldn't do it.
What did you call it? The sweat equity too?
Sweat equity.
What is that?
Well, you know, you can like contribute money to something, or you can contribute your time and energy, and that's your sweat equity. Over physical equity.
I'm gonna read it.
You know, it's unpaid labor of women, which we've been doing for, you know, generations.
Yeah. This week on Captains in the Kitchen, my worlds collided. I made a casserole that my mom used to make back when we didn't really think about nutrients or health, only to discover that it might very well be a traditional Mormon dish, perfect to serve for our lovely guest and former Mormon, Heather Gay. Okay, everyone, take a look.
What do I make Heather Gay? So I started Googling. What foods is Utah famous for? Type, type, type. Jell-O, for one. And then it came up on a hit called Mormon Funeral Potatoes.
Heather, before you dig into this, can you confirm or deny that this is indeed a dish that you might have eaten that's traditional Mormon food?
I recognize this. My whole body goes back into my 12-year-old girl self that learned to make it for the first time. These are funeral potatoes. They are world famous Mormon dish.
Will you try mine? Okay.
You told us a few minutes ago that you are not honest with people who you enjoy, who you like, and you don't tell them the truth. Is there an exception with food? Will you tell Jess if you don't like it?
Well, I barely met Jess, so it's going to be a lot easier to be honest with her.
Okay, go
but
for it.
I also am a big fan of funeral potatoes, and it's hard to mess them up, but I'll
it
be very honest.
It is hard to mess it up. But do you put cornflakes on yours?
This is a butter cornflake crunch blend on top with some cheddar cheese. I think there's a little cream of mushroom soup in here.
Two cans.
Some chopped hash brown potatoes.
Frozen.
Sour cream.
Yep.
And salt, pepper.
Yep.
Cream of chicken soup at all, or just cream of
just
mushroom?
Just cream of mushroom so my colleague could eat it.
Okay, well, here we go. So I not dissect the whole recipe?
You did. Really you got every single ingredient.
In a 9x12 glass casserole dish.
She really did.
They're delicious.
They're delicious. I'm having a second bite. They're so good.
They're not a heart attack. They're solid.
Rib sticking.
Yeah,
for this weather, perfect.
Yes, delicious. Perfect for Canada.
All right, so while we eat, we're going to talk about your book, Bad Mormon, because this season on Housewives, you shared that you were struggling with meeting your writing deadlines. You were having a hard time. And you also seemed anxious about revealing Mormon secrets and what your family would think. So how does it feel now that it's about to be released into the world? Has your family read it?
Well, my family has not read it, and I don't know if they will ever read it. And I used to be afraid that they would read it, but now I am afraid that they'll never read it and see kind of like some of the wonderful things I wrote about, you know?
Yeah.
But the truth is, like, on the show, I talked a lot about, like, how hard it was to grow up Mormon and then to have every decision in your life informed by that religion, and then to walk away when you're this old and you've already like made every single decision in your life based on it, you know, who you marry, where you go to school, what you become. And then I'm like in my second chapter, you know, starting a whole new life. And it's because of Housewives that I was able to do that. So that was hard for me to work through when I was trying to like write the book. And that's kind of what you get to see on the show.
Mm. And have your friends read it yet?
A few of my friends have, and they asked me to change their names.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Which is, you know, sad and painful because we just wrote about being normal teenagers, but we grew up in a very insular community. We have very, very strict standards of behavior, and there's a lot of cultural currency in being a good Mormon, and there is very little cultural currency in being a bad Mormon. Mm-hmm. And the borders are very aligned and like specific, and when you step outside the circle, it's an immediate fallout.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Has there been any response from the church?
The church is currently suing me for use of the trademark. So there's been I'm currently in litigation just for writing the book, but we'll see where that happens.
Yeah. Wow.
Listen, I was raised a Catholic, so I do know a bit about sort of what the feeling is growing up in an oppressive religion. And you share so much personal stuff in the book, but since it's not out yet, you can't really get into the details. So I just want to know, like, what was it like growing up in that environment? Like, tell us a little bit about the religion.
Well, the religion is just, it's really idyllic at first. You know, it works if you fit the mold. Mm-hmm. And it works for a beautiful nuclear family where everyone is cisgender, heteronormative. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, your sexuality is heterosexual. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do all of these things according to the standard, then it's easy to live and thrive as a Mormon. And it feels very safe. You know, you have a community. You have mm-hmm. an extended family. You have people that understand your culture. They understand your songs. They understand your recipes. And you can go to any house and just feel like you're home. But, you know, as you grow up and you realize the doctrine is really problematic and the behavior is problematic, as soon as your life doesn't fit that mold, for me, it was my divorce. The divorce immediately caused my entire world and community to implode, mm-hmm. and I didn't get remarried immediately. So I was just kind of a dangling, you know, leaf on the vine, and there was really no way for me to thrive in that environment. And mm-hmm. that's what I think is so destructive, is when you're outside the community, how do you get back in, and how do you teach that to your children?
Yeah. Mm. Well, interesting, like you talk about in the book how you didn't have really anything explained to you as a child, which must have been very, very confusing. And you are a mother of three daughters who were raised partly in the Mormon church until you and your ex-husband divorced. Mm-hmm. How do you explain things to them? Or, you know, a different approach, I'm imagining?
Well, we were just kind of talking about the sex talk. And when I grew up being Mormon, the sex talk was don't ask, don't tell, don't do it. Mm-hmm. And then I had three daughters.
Yeah.
And so my sex talk with them now is ask me everything, mm. tell me everything, and don't do it. So it's baby steps, you know. I'm growing slowly, but it's hard, you know. I always was trained to be a certain kind of mom, and now I'm really the mom that I want to be for these kids, and I am so proud of that relationship that we've created our own family.
I want to expand on that a little bit because, you know, who you are and who you want to be. For a long time, you hid who you were. You couldn't be your true self. You felt a lot of shame, and that changed when Housewives, your show premiered in 2020, and you discovered a community, and you also discovered that people love you, even like celebrities are obsessed with you. So, you know, you are a celebrity to other celebrities. Have they slid into your DMs? Who?
I mean,
give me some names.
So many. There's so many, and they're across the gamut. Rihanna, Octavia Spencer.
No,
I mean,
what's like, Rihanna's opening shot? Like, what? Hey, girl,
I feel you. You are be strong. We could be besties. Like, be you. Be proud. I mean, I'm sure she came from a lot of, you know, oppression and like had to like overcome to be a rock star at the young age. You know,
okay, who else?
There's so many, and I'm thinking of all of their character names. Sarah Paulson.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Fortune, I just forgot her last name. Fortune. Feimster. Fortune, Bridget Everett, like Glennon Doyle. I mean, just women that you really esteem and want to be
friends with,
seen
probably.
By.
Yeah,
you know, to be friends with, I would never dare dream. But just to be seen when you felt invisible and under this cloak of shame for a lot of your life, to be seen by women that you admire that are also breaking out of the mold and doing it on their own and really blazing a trail for, you know, people like me. It gives you strength and it gives you, you know, the determination to continue.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
All right.
God. You know, you. If you're a mom of three girls, I know you got to have like parenting right there. You got to have answers right there at the tip of your tongue. So let's do a rapid fire game. Okay. Would you rather?
Okay.
All right. So it's going to be playing off the name of your book, of course. So the best, we're going to call this the best of the bad. Okay. So we're going to ask you something like this. So bad manners or bad kisser? Which would you rather?
Bad manners.
Okay. Oh,
okay. I don't care if he's has bad manners, but if he's a good kisser, that's okay. Fine.
Wow. What about bad food or bad sex?
Bad food.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Bad outfit or bad hair day?
Bad hair day. Like every day of my life, you know?
Gotta learn to live with that, you know?
As if, look at those locks. Heather, we can't thank you enough for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure. Everyone watching, Heather's book, Bad Mormon, comes out on February 7th and is available for pre-order now.
Subscribe to The Social Podcast so you don't miss a fiery debate. Until next time, socialites.